From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now, and coming up, a conversation you are going to want to hear as you work on your taxes. A big idea for changes to the tax code coming out of Washington. Is it going to get any traction?
But first, to the ongoing crisis in Ukraine, where dozens of heavily armed men raised the Russian flag as they seized control of government buildings in Crimea today. This happened even as a new Ukrainian government was being formed in Kiev. The man who led the old government, President Viktor Yanukovych, is being sheltered in Russia after fleeing Ukraine last week. The BBC's Bridget Kendall joins us from Moscow. And first of all, Bridget, we're hearing that Yanukovych is going to hold a news conference tomorrow, but do we know where he specifically is?
No, we don't know precisely where he is. What we do know of him is a statement which was read on his behalf on Russian television and disseminated to main Russian news outlets, in which he declared that he still considers that he's the legal president of Ukraine. And he questioned the legitimacy of the new government and parliament and their actions, and said that he had been under threat from extremists and therefore he had fled to Russia and asked for personal protection. And judging by the fact that this statement was read out on Russian television, one assumes that he got what he wanted and he is being protected by Russia.
What is the view in Russia that this has happened?
Well, it came as some surprise, actually, because the general view around Moscow was that in fleeing his responsibilities and in being so rash as to turn fire onto demonstrators in Kiev and escalating an already acute crisis, he was mostly to blame for what had happened. And it seemed nobody had a good word to say about him. And it seemed likely, given that this is, after all, the second time that the Russian president, Vladimir Putin, had backed Mr. Yanukovych only to see him ousted, that Moscow might consider this was time to dump him, but apparently not, if they are giving him sanctuary and reading his statements out on Russian television. Mm.
And what about the recent and troubling reports of Russian troop exercises along the border with Ukraine? Is it a show of force, or is there a genuine threat that Russia might take military action?
Well, the Russians say this isn't about a genuine threat, it's an exercise. And the timing is nothing to do with Ukraine, but most people looking at it think the timing is very relevant. And this is probably very deliberate saber rattling. This morning it was announced by the Defense Ministry that fighter jets would be on constant combat patrols along that western border. Mm. So it felt, as the tension has been escalating, particularly in the Crimea, that this was Russia sending a message to the new government in Kiev that they shouldn't forget who was their neighbor and what sort of military might it had.
So saber-rattling, but the effect of that saber-rattling must be reverberating, you know, not only across Russia and Ukraine, but how the international community is viewing what's happening along the border.
Well, it has, and there have been statements of really considerable alarm from Western leaders, most recently today from the U.S. Defense Secretary, Chuck Hagel, who's at a NATO meeting in Brussels. Yesterday, John Kerry talked about this, the U.S. Secretary of State talked about this three times. But I say saber-rattling because I think that's exactly what Russia's doing. It's sending a message, but it doesn't seem as though an invasion is on the cards. The Russians keep saying they will respect the territorial integrity of Ukraine. And as events unfold today, it seems something rather more calibrated is happening. Because if you look at what's happening in the Crimea, which has become the hotspot, Crimea, which is majority Russian-speaking, and what they seem to be talking about is, wouldn't it be a good idea to have a local referendum in the Crimea, which would call for increased autonomy? They're not talking about secession, they're not talking about a breaking away, but they are talking about challenging the new government in Kiev. So if you pull all these strands together, President Yanukovych in Moscow saying he's the president, and the compromise agreement which he signed with the opposition in the presence of three European foreign ministers, that he thinks that's still valid. That was echoed by a statement from the Russian Foreign Ministry that was just put on its website not long ago, that the message that seems to be coming from Moscow is that the Kiev government can't have everything its own way. It's behaving like a government of winners, it said in its statement. And if they don't take into account the views of minorities in other parts of the country, well, then they might need to give them a bit more autonomy. Mm.
And Bridget, finally, on that note, I mean, the emerging government in Ukraine, you know, is still rather vulnerable. The entire nation finds itself in a very vulnerable moment. But nevertheless, a new prime minister was named today, a man named Arseniy Yatsenyuk, and he's seen as a reformer who has American support, perhaps entirely unlike President Viktor Yanukovych. Is there a sense as to how Moscow may try to influence the new Ukrainian government as it takes shape?
They haven't said in Moscow that they're not going to recognize this parliament, but they do seem to be saying we have a different view of how we think things should proceed in Ukraine. And they're also making a direct appeal to Western leaders, saying you can't just have the Ukrainian government that you want to face westwards. In the latest Russian Foreign Ministry statement, they said Ukraine has to be allowed to face both ways, and it is not helpful, for example, to have NATO start making statements about Ukraine. That is not appropriate.
The BBC's Bridget Kendall speaking to us from Moscow. Bridget, thank you very much.
Glad to join you.